T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, I thought I'd be talking about the final score of the LSU women's basketball against Rice, but those final ticks are finally coming off. 70-60 right now. The ladies up over Rice with 3 seconds left in the game. So game one of the LSU Tigers' defense of the national title will be a success. Moving on to the next round in the PMAC. Seeing an outing from Angel Reese today, another double-double, no surprise from her. 10 points, 19 rebounds on the matchup. Then you also have Flauje Johnson with 14 points and Issa Morrow 15. But a lot of turnovers for the Lady Tigers in this matchup, and that was a trend, unfortunately, for the Pels yesterday. We'll be getting into that after the first break with Ollie Cosell, who covers the Pels as an NBA writer. But, man, not a pretty outing for these Lady Tigers.
No, I mean, it's a win. It's a 10-point win as well, which you'd take every time. But if you're looking
Could have been more, right.
Yeah, what happened in this game, as our texter had mentioned earlier, it was not a pretty game. I mean, you hit 21 shots and you have 24 turnovers in this matchup. The big disparity here was 22 of 31 from free throws for LSU to only 6 of 8 for Rice. That was a huge difference in a 10-point victory. Now LSU moves on to face Middle Tennessee State, the 11 seed in this bracket, who once again upset Louisville earlier today by 2 points in an 11-6 matchup. So they'll be facing them in the second round of the PMAC with a trip to the Sweet 16 on the line.
Congrats to Kim Mulkey and the rest of the Lady Tigers for moving on. Going to get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk in text line and see Jimmy, what you got for us today, man? It's gorgeous outside. Hope you are doing something fun.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Hey, look, we are doing something. We're going out to Chalmette for the Crawfish Fest tonight, and we packed some Red Bulls. We're going back across to the West Bank to Plaquemines Parish for the Blue Angels tomorrow.
Yes.
We're going to be camping out. We're basically sleeping out there, dude, like it's an Endymion parade. and we're going to be going to see the Blue Angels for free tomorrow in Plaquemines Parish in Bell Chase. But look, listen, keep me posted on if what I want to get y'all's take on Grambling. They're the only team representing us left
right
after McNeese kind of doo-dooed the bed. I knew McNeese, Charlie, and Steve were going to have a hard time with the elevation. They ran into a buzzsaw against Gonzaga. So you got Grambling tonight against Purdue. That's a tough order, a tall order for them. And look, Brandon Ingram, the news is better than I had expected, honestly. Right. I was fearing for the worst.
For sure.
I think, and you guys, I'm going to hang up and listen. I'm assuming he's going to be back for the playoffs. And, you know, some people say, well, yeah, you know, he missed 2 months when he hurt his little toe. You know, you got to also keep in mind, that was when we were like maybe probably not going to make the playoffs. They would shelf a guy. But in this situation, considering where we're at right now to the Pelicans Nation out there, of course he's going to come back when he's ready. They're playing. They're all in. I mean, they're like a 4 or 5 seed. You know, it's going to, you know, I think this is going to be good, though, because, you know, guys like Hawk, guys like Murphy, Nance Jr., everybody's got to step up. I think this is going to make us a little bit stronger going into the playoffs when he does come back. So what's the timeline? What do y'all really honestly expect? When do you think we'll get Brandon Ingram back?
For me, Jimmy, I'm definitely not expecting to see him until the playoffs. I think the knee issue, they'll hold him out. Obviously, that 2 week, get reevaluated, and I guess we'll see where they are as a team at that point. But to me, I would just save him up, and hopefully he'll be back in basketball conditioning too in time for that playoff run. And Charlie and I kind of talked about this yesterday. Right now, please just hang on to being a playoff team and not having to be part of that play-in tournament, and things are so tight in that Western Conference, and we've talked about the, you know, upcoming opponents ad nauseum, and what is it now, 14 or 13 games left? 13.
13 games left. So the 2 weeks, Jimmy, that timeline gets you to April 5th, right? And that is a game against the Spurs that actually closes out your five or six game. I think it's a six-game homestand. You host the Spurs Friday, April the 5th. After that, there are five games remaining in the regular season and then the playoffs.
Right.
So the reevaluation in 2 weeks is interesting. I don't think I would expect him, and this is just speculation on my part.
Right.
Because, I mean, after that, you know, Friday, April 5th game against the Spurs, there's only 9 days left of the regular season. So if you reevaluate him in 2 weeks and say, okay, he's going to be good to go next week, then maybe he can come in at the very end of the regular season and be ready for the playoffs. If not, maybe he has to sit out a little bit into the playoffs. We'll just have to see how it goes. I think it would probably be, if I had to guess, somewhere around that 2 to 4 week period for a return for Brandon Ingram, which basically puts you around the very end of the regular season, start of the postseason. But we'll have to see. As you know, the team reported, it's a reevaluation in 2 weeks. So, you know, we'll get more news on April 5th.
Hope you enjoy the air show, Jimmy. Thinking about heading out there myself with the family. Also, a lot going on. Got the Louisiana Derby this weekend. Also, SEC tournament action in the Smoothie King Center for the gymnastics. And we know the LSU women's team has been lighting it up this season. Hopefully, they can continue doing well there. We're going to step away, take a break, talk more Pelicans with credentialed NBA writer Ali Cosell when we get back from the break here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm sure both teams will be excited to play the game, for sure. You know, no one's forgot what happened. But for us, it's about winning the game in between the lines. It's not all of the other stuff. It's being physical in the right way, executing in the right way, being disciplined in the right way, and trying to do what we can to win the game.
Pelicans head coach Willie Green asked about, is there a revenge factor for tonight's matchup against the Miami Heat? We know there was a little bit of pushing and shoving. I won't even call it fighting in that matchup, but a little tempers spilling over tonight in Miami. It'll be interesting to see. Going to talk to Ali Cosell, NBA writer covering the Pelicans right now. So what are we expecting from this matchup? I know that besides the playoff intensity being ramped up, there's going to be, I guess, tempers, you could say, a little bit uneasy going into this matchup because of Jimmy Butler and crew.
Yeah, that's going to be a couple things you want to watch for, and that's going to be probably number one, right? If everybody remembers that game here in New Orleans, as you just described, a lot of intensity, a lot of emotion, and you had a feeling it's probably going to spill into the next game with how, you know, three players got ejected, what was said, and, you know, that's what NBA games kind of need sometimes, right? When you're on an 82-game schedule, you need sometimes extra motivation. I know that's a common refrain from the stars, the older stars, the vets in the leagues. They need to find some inspiration. But I'll tell you what, there's not going to be any problem finding any for both sides tonight. And I'm going to be curious to watch who's going to throw the first hard foul, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to say what? And can the Pelicans mainly, can they keep their emotions in check? Now that you're down Brandon Ingram, you're going to need all hands on deck, and you're going to need contributions across the board. You're going to need consistent performances across the board. So I'm sure that's what Willie Green's probably the message to his team is going to be before the game. Look, I know there's going to be a lot of emotions, and you can play with it, but you got to keep it in check.
looking at that injury yesterday with Brandon Ingram, obviously was a scary situation. Kind of everyone was holding their breath at the moment. Luckily, with the MRI coming back with just a contusion in that left knee, hopefully things will get on track. We see B.I. at least for the playoff run. But what are you expecting rotation-wise, how to things to change with him out the lineup?
That's the biggest question, because Brandon, I feel like, was the – I guess the player you could rely on the most if you're the coaching staff, because he was the de facto point guard. And you could see it in the way he prepared for games, the way the coaching staff, you know, after practice, before game. I saw James Borrego always pulling Brandon to a side and just talking him through things. And I know he was largely going over a lot of game plan strategies for the next night, upcoming schedules and stuff. So now who is he going to have those conversations with? I mean, you got to think it's going to be with Zion Williamson. But – you know, Zion, then again, he doesn't even have 200 games under his belt. And so you don't want to put too much on his shoulders. As you saw last night,
yeah,
right? He had 8 turnovers, and the offense kind of devolved into him just trying to do too much, as to where B.I. is on a level to where he knows how to get everybody involved. And Z kind of just plays more off of his emotion and you know, so to speak, from play to play on what he sees. So whether it's C.J. McCollum, maybe that those responsibilities would be spread out. But yeah, rotations, big question mark, because you saw how Willie liked to do it. I'm sure most Pels fans did. You had one of B.I. or Z in the game at all times. Now you've got to think it's going to be Zion or C.J. And C.J.'s shown he can do some heavy lifting, but I think he's going to need help, right? So does that mean Jonas Valanciunas suddenly is going to see a bigger role again, averaging the fewest amount of minutes he's ever seen here in the month of March? Got to expect that's going to go up. But also Trey Murphy. And now I'm real curious to see, who's going to be your scorer off the bench? Because Trey's going to move in that starting lineup, right? We all assume. Is it going to be Jordan Hawkins? I feel like, yeah, it's got to be him, right? Because Jose doesn't bring scoring. Neither does Najee, Larry Nance, you name it. So I think we're about to see and get a heavy dose of Jordan.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Ali, with the Jordan Hawkins move. Because you could see Willie potentially cutting down the rotation a little bit, but at the same time, as you mentioned, with Trey entering the starting lineup, we all kind of expect that, as you said. Jordan Hawkins is going to probably begin some minutes soon. And I know a lot of Pelicans fans are really excited about that projection, having that bench scorer like a Jordan Hawkins that can really come in and hit big threes when his name is called upon. But also, you also mentioned C.J. McCollum, and I think that his role is going to have to increase here as well, just based off of, you know, you're losing one of your top ball handlers outside of, obviously, Zion and C.J. and B.I., but when you're looking at the B.I. injury and the terminology that they've used so far, the reevaluated in 2 weeks, that used to be a curse last year when it came to Zion and everything that was happening at the end of last season. But now I think a lot of people are breathing a sigh of relief that this isn't as serious as we all kind of hoped it wouldn't be when you saw it happen live. What's kind of your thoughts on the B.I. timeline? You know, we talked a little bit about that in the first segment. 2 weeks put you at April 5th, which is a home game on Friday against the Spurs. And then after that, you have 5 games left of the regular season. So the fact that they're saying they're reevaluating him in that timeline, like, kind of what's your general thoughts on B.I.'s timeline for return?
Yeah, so first off, this is the best-case scenario, right? It's not good news in my book, because you're going to be without, obviously, your star, and he's going to need to somehow ramp up if he even gets an opportunity. And my thinking is, when these athletes, these NBA players specifically, sustain a bone bruise on their knee, they miss more than 2 weeks. It's closer usually to 4 weeks. And we had a great example with Najee Marshall in preseason. He hurt it at about middle of October. We didn't see him until the middle of November. And at the time, we assumed he had maybe torn a ligament or something because of the way he reacted, very similarly to B.I. So I'm hoping that it's kind of the smaller type of bone bruises, kind of like Najee had, that B.I. sustained. Because if that's the case, then I think we'll definitely see him again this year. But you know, if I had to guess, Charlie, I don't think we'll see him until probably the playoffs. I think he's probably going to need close to that full four weeks. And like I said, that's not ideal, right? You would hope to get him some games, but hey, it's B.I. And he would have a whole week if the Pelicans can get in the top six, that is, right? Let's see if they can hang on to it. But if they can, that would give him and the entire team a whole week's worth of about practice time.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned there, Ali, now you're kind of hoping that you can cling on to one of those top six spots. And in the Western Conference, it's so tough with teams like the Mavericks and the Suns and the Kings all breathing down your neck. And then it all starts. You got to keep winning games. And there's a really tough schedule coming up. We talked a couple weeks ago, Ali, about their March slate. They're 7-2 in March, and if you would have told me that a few weeks ago, I would be 100% cool with it. And now you get into some really tough games. You're starting with the Heat tonight on a road back-to-back. A Heat team that you've lost 7 straight to, 10 of the last 11. They got to break this streak. I know we talked a couple months ago about how they seem to always struggle with like the Utah Jazz. It seems like the Heat have kind of taken that mantle recently.
They have. And one fortunate thing is, even though Bam Adebayo, who was questionable, is going to play, they're going to be without their two of their best shooters, I would say. Right? No Duncan Robinson, no Tyler Hero. So that's going to put a lot of pressure right on their getting their points on the inside. They're not a high-scoring team to begin with, but now I feel like the Pelicans' defense has an opportunity to really clog up the middle, right? Don't give Jimmy Butler those easy looks. Limit their chances, right? Just hold them to one shot per possession and make them beat you from the outside. That's been kind of the motto of this team all season, right? They allow teams to shoot a lot of threes, but they do a good job of defending them. So I think you go to an extreme here tonight in doing that. Don't give up anything on the inside, and definitely don't foul. Right, Jimmy Butler is one of the best at drawing fouls. And so then it just comes down to, can you score points? Because they play just as tough defensively, if not more so, when they're really engaged. And that's where Zion's going to see a wall. So is he going to make the right decisions? Is he going to find the shooters, right? Is there going to be enough movement to where Trey, CJ, and hopefully Jordan Hawkins get enough open looks? And if they do, I like their chances of improving on the last time these teams played, right, guys? If you remember, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I remember Trey connected on like 2 of 12 shots. CJ wasn't any better. And same thing really with Jordan. So you got to think they'll improve upon that. And all these guys, I think they're going to be a little amped up with the positive news, right, of BI. So that's going to help too, right? I don't think that can be overlooked.
Well, looking at things too, Ollie, it just seems in the NBA all around, you better be on from three-point range or you're just going to get buried in today's game.
That happened last night, didn't it? Pelicans didn't shoot enough, didn't make enough. Orlando, who is not a good shooting three-point shooting team, they made them. And, yeah, it seemed like they created enough separation to where even if B.I. hadn't gotten injured,
right,
he didn't like the Pelicans' chances of winning that game. So I'm with you. It's an easy stat. Pelicans, when they shoot over 32 threes a game, guys, they're 26-9 this year. So now that you're going to have more minutes for the actual shooters, I think, or you should, there's no reason why you can't get at least that many shots up per night. I really hope the coaching staff stresses that.
And then looking ahead, Ali, after this Heat game, you have the Pistons on the road. I don't even really think we should have to preview that game. The Pistons have been better since the All-Star break, but they're still one of the worst teams in the NBA. Even without Brandon Ingram, that's a team you should completely take care of business against. And then you come home for the most important stretch of the season, a six-game homestand against the Thunder, the Bucks, the Celtics, in order to end March. And then you have the Suns to start April, the Magic again on a rematch, and then the Spurs to close out that six-game homestand. I mean, I can't emphasize how important it is with so many playoff-level teams in that stretch that the Pelicans at least stay afloat with a lot of teams breathing down their neck with the play-in tournament right there.
Yeah, before Brandon got hurt, I was hoping they would go 3-3 during that six-game stretch, right? It's murderer's row. And Victor Wembanyama, I mean, can't overlook how he's been playing, right? So when he's on the court, the Spurs have been a positive team for the last few months, so they shouldn't be taken for granted either. So, yeah, now you're going to have to find a way to gut out some wins there, because I feel like the Pelicans, while they've got a game and a half edge on Dallas, and I believe it's the Suns too, that's going to close quickly, because you got to think at least a couple of these teams behind them are going to win plenty more games than they lose down the stretch. So for the Pelicans to play around 500 ball, that might not be enough to hang inside the top six, right? So somehow you're going to have to find a way to still go 3-3, even though you don't have B.I.
Always appreciate the time, Ollie. Great stuff. Enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully, next time we are talking, for sure, it's a victory. Last night was just a brutal one all around.
Yeah, Steve. I'm hoping that a couple of players step up from here until the end of the season, whether they alternate, you know, on certain nights. But that's what it's going to take, right? Zion playing basically an all-NBA level. CJ getting back to being that 25-30-point scorer, and then having enough guys give him in support.
I'm really keeping my eye on, before we let you run here, Ollie, the Trey Murphy effect. I mean, we talked a little bit about it, that he always likes to pick up his play via last year in March and April. I think that he, once again, is going to be a huge X factor for this team, along with someone like Herb Jones. It's been Mr. Consistency all season long. But if Trey enters the starting lineup, his role and is obviously going to have to increase. His minutes are going to increase, and he's going to have to hit some big shots for this offense to stay afloat.
Yeah, good thing, like you said, history's on his side. He finishes seasons well. He's currently on a hot streak. For the first time yesterday, right, he scored more than 20 points and the Pelicans lost. That's the first time it's happened all season. So, yeah, if Trey can maintain this, and I think he's got to have incentive. Coming up this summer, he's going to have a chance to have a contract extension to sign one. And I know he's going to be looking close for the max deal. So right here and now, with 13 games left, he could basically shoe that in on getting the offer that he's looking for. And, boy, wouldn't it be perfect timing. I don't care what the Pelicans got to pay. If Trey can finish the season strong, that's going to make them so much better, right? You can count on Z. You can count CJ. But who's that third? You hope it's Trey because he's got the game for it.
Like I said, Ollie, thank you so much. Be talking to you soon. And go enjoy the weather outside. I think we're in store for an awesome weekend, too, here in Louisiana.
I know. We've had a lot of rain lately, guys. But you're right. When it's not raining, it's been pleasant. I've already been outside today to do some yard work, especially after I got that BI good news, quote, yeah, unquote. I was more than happy to go do some work.
A sigh of relief, for sure. Thanks, Ollie.
You can follow him at Ollie Cosell on Twitter. We'll be right back with more sports talk. Want to hear from you on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Be right back with sports talk right after this. Welcome back into sports talk. The LSU women's basketball team advancing in the NCAA tournament, getting a 70-60 victory over 14 seed Rice in the Maravich Center. They only have a matchup now Sunday inside the PMAC again. Taking on Middle Tennessee, the Blue Raiders ended up upsetting Louisville earlier on the day, 71-69. They were down 11 at the half, so impressive comeback for them. Looking at the action in the men's tournament right now, man, Yale has given Auburn everything they've got. There's 2.5 minutes left in that matchup. It's tied at 70. Also, Colorado and Florida duking it out. Colorado up 92-84. With 3:46 left in that match up there. So lots going on with the NCAA tournament. Also mentioned inside the Smoothie King Center this weekend, SEC Gymnastics. Also at the fairgrounds, I would love to go and check out the Louisiana Derby, especially with the weather the way it's been outside. That should be a lot of fun out there. And then Jimmy mentioned as well, there's an air show going on in Belle Chasse. So plenty to do this weekend with the gorgeous weather staying around for us, which is thankful because, man, sick of dealing with the rain and the cold. Let's have an awesome day outside.
Absolutely. And this Yale-Auburn thing is going to definitely be something to keep an eye on, Steve. Yale got into the tournament on a buzzer beater in their conference championship versus Brown. That was an awesome game winner that they had. But now you're looking at this team tied with Auburn at 70 with about 2 minutes left to go in the tournament. Auburn, the SEC tournament champion here. That would be a huge upset. I think a lot of people had Auburn at least going to the Sweet 16. If not, I know a few people that had brackets with Auburn going to the Elite Eight and even Final Four by going past UConn and upsetting the Huskies. So Auburn losing in the first round, I think that might even be bigger than what happened with Kentucky and Oakland for a lot of teams.
Want to hear from you folks sounding off on our Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. On the line with us, Big John and Metairie. What you got, Big John?
What's up, Big John?
Hey, Charlie. What's up, Steve?
Doing good.
I just want to bring something up. Me and Charlie talk sometimes about this, and I haven't really understood this in full. Why is it that the Pelicans just don't run it right through Zion, right from the top of the key? If you're going to double-team the guy, put three-point shooters in there like all these other teams are doing. They got all these three-point specialists sitting behind the arc. And Zion, if he's going through the lane and they're going to double-team him, he's got to find an opening guy. Don't be putting it on the ground. Just keep swinging the ball. These teams are swinging the ball on the Pelicans constantly. And they just got wide open three-pointers. And that's why they're scoring so many points. We've got the three-point guys. And I don't understand why Willie's doing what he's doing.
The two losses that the Pelicans have had so far this year, Big John, or in this month, in March, the loss to Orlando and the loss to Cleveland, they were killed from beyond the three-point range. That's been a big deal if you're looking at the Pelicans' losses. They get outshot and they have a lot of turnovers. That's another thing. So you're talking about Zion with the ball in his hands. I agree 100%. I want to see lineups. So with B.I. out, and I know you wanted to talk about the lineup and how that will change with now Brandon missing some time. We talked with Ollie a little bit about it. I don't think Willie's necessarily going to shorten the rotation. I think that it opens up some minutes. B.I. averaged 30.8 minutes per month or per game this year. And you're looking at Jordan Hawkins, Matt Ryan potentially getting some more minutes as well. You're not just going to give more minutes to C.J., Zion, maybe a little bit to Jonas because Jonas hasn't played that much this month. But Jordan Hawkins and Matt Ryan, to your point, Big John, about putting shooters around Zion, get them in the game. I mean, get Zion in a lineup with Jordan, with Matt Ryan, with Trey Murphy, just all these elite three-point threats, and see what the offense can really do. I really like that idea.
Hey, Charlie, let me ask you this.
What's up?
When Willie's coming down and he's got the big guy in the game, I just don't see where in this day in NBA, unless you're going up against a team that you're just banging inside, that you just don't put your guys on the outside. You got one dominant player in the paint, and I just don't understand why he's not having strict ball movement. That's what Steve Kerr did all these years and won those championships. Mm-hmm. Just the ball moving from these guys' hands from one to the next without putting the ball on the ground, and you can't cover everybody. You either got to give them the wide-open threes, and like you said, that's why the Pelicans have been getting killed, because they're just not magnifying the guys that we've got coming off the bench. They got a Jordan, who might be the best three-point shooter, sitting on the bench, and then you got Herb Jones. He loves the corner.
Herb's been awesome from three this year. I mean, that's been like the biggest improvement for Herb Jones' game. That's why, you know, people have been praising him as the MVP of this team. He's not only providing first team all NBA defense, you know, efficiency, he's also shooting 50% from three since the new year. He's been incredible. I'm 100% with you, Big John. Give me that lineup where you have Zion going downhill, but you have everyone on the wing. You have Jordan Hawkins, who can shoot 40% from three. You have Trey Murphy, who's got that capabilities as well. You have Herb Jones, who's been elite from three-point range this year. Just give me that lineup. Give me the offense that you let Zion go to work and point Zion. I mean, I think it can really work.
I think with the 13 games left until we get to the postseason, you want to amp up the minutes, obviously, for Jordan Hawkins anyway. And I think, obviously, this with BI out, this is a great opportunity to siphon some more minutes to him.
You got to look at the teams you're playing. You have to be able to score with these teams. You're missing a huge piece in BI. You're missing 20 points per game with Brandon Ingram on a bad night. You got to figure out how you're going to fill that void. So give me the shooting touches. Give me Jordan Hawkins. Give me Matt Ryan. Give me Trey Murphy. Give me Herb Jones. Give me an increase for all those guys' minutes. And let Zion go to work with them. I think that's the way that the Pelicans offensively can keep up with some of these teams. Because once again, Big John, if you're looking at the month of March, the two losses that they've had to the Cavaliers and the Magic, they got killed from beyond the arc. So that's a huge key for me, because if the Pelicans can at least stay consistent from three-point range, I think that they're going to be a really great team heading into postseason play. But, you know, you got to find those minutes now that BI's gone, 30.8 minutes per game that you have to distribute throughout the rest of the roster. Once again, I'm looking for Jordan Hawkins to get some more minutes, Herb to get some more minutes, and Trey obviously moving into the starting lineup to get a lot more minutes.
Things have been a little, I don't want to say frustrating, but it's just interesting to see that with the Pels of late, it seems that they're either blowing teams out or they're getting blown out themselves.
Once again, the three-point range. If those shots aren't falling,
the great equalizer, right?
It is a huge difference maker if shots aren't falling. Steve, once again, the March Madness update we got right now, Yale leading Auburn 73-72 with 55 seconds remaining in that game. And then Colorado trying to hold off Florida. They're up 96-90. So, yeah, thanks for the call, Big John. You know, I think that with BI out, it's a huge missing piece for the Pelicans, but there is a way that they can survive, and that's getting the shooters on the floor with Zion. I think he can stay up with some of those elite teams that you're going to be playing over the next 10 games.
Looking at this matchup tonight against the Miami Heat, a lot of bad blood on tap, too, against Miami. We know a little bit of pushing and shoving happened last time. Here's what good old Jimmy Butler had to say about the matchup with the Pelicans.
Oh, the next time we play them?
Yeah.
I mean, sure. We'll beat them the next time, too. We're just a better team. I'm not going to say that they're not a good team, but I don't think this really matters. I think that, you know, when we get them on our home court, it's going to be a different game. I hope that they're healthy, and it's going to be the same outcome.
Well, hoping the Pelicans heard that bite again heading into this matchup to give them a little extra boost for the 7 o'clock tip-off in Miami.
Bulletin board material.
Sure.
Jimmy Butler's a trash talker. And this is a guy, like, he gets praised a lot. And, look, I get it. Like, they won the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They made it to the NBA Finals where they got smoked by Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. But – Jimmy Butler talks a lot of trash for someone that's ultimately not done anything.
We got our own little Barker on the Pels with Jose Alvarado, I feel like.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't think Jose's ever come out and said that, you know, we're a better team than them. Like, we're going to win the next time around. Like,
no, yeah, he's just being pompous there for sure. And,
yeah.
Interested to see, though, how the Pels team responds in this game, especially after that matchup where things got heated. And it was just a weird scenario overall with Najee and then Jose Alvarado get involved with a little extracurricular activities.
I really, once again, I think that Najee's another player that could see an increase in minutes just because Willie trusts him defensively. And Willie has a lot of, like, he puts a lot of stock into what Najee can provide defensively. I think that he's another player that could see a minute increase. So just keep an eye on that as well, because Najee and Jimmy were the ones that were really going at it.
Closing in on pregame coverage of LSU baseball, the fifth-ranked Tigers hosting number 6 Florida this weekend at the box. We're going to have pregame coverage starting 6:30 right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. The first pitch in the box, 7 o'clock. We'll be right back with more sports talk after this here on WWL. Things are tight, 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 tight in these two games closing out here in the men's basketball tournament. We have Yale on top of Auburn right now, 75-74, 33 seconds left in the game. And we're watching this one unfold right in front of us, Charlie, between Florida and Colorado.
Wow, that might be it. 1.7 seconds left. Florida had just hit a crazy three. Yeah, that's going to be it.
Oof.
Oh, my goodness. Florida hit a crazy three to
another
tie.
Another SEC team.
And then Colorado hits a jumper with 1.7 seconds left. They win 102-100 in what was easily one of the craziest games of the first round so far. And then keeping an eye over another SEC team might be falling, Steve. I mean, this game was crazy as well. 73-72, Yale had the lead over Auburn. Auburn missed the front end of a 1-1 at the free throw line. That's always devastating. And then Yale hit 2 free throws to go up 3. And when you're up 3 late, they decided to foul. Auburn hit those 2 free throws. Free throw shooting is so important in March Madness, especially when in these late tight games. And Yale's been hitting some big free throws. They now lead at 77-74 with 21 seconds left. Auburn misses a layup. Oh, boy. This is going to be a huge upset. The SEC
We were talking about how dominating SEC baseball is. Not so much for basketball.
The SEC was great in basketball this year. They're just having a vicious, like a brutal March Madness right now, Steve. This is bad.
Yeah, looking at, like you said, 77-74, 13 ticks left in that game between Yale and Auburn. And, yeah, I wonder how Auburn's going to feel going down to a squad like Yale.
Yeah, I mean – Yale taking down Auburn, Colorado just taking down Florida as well, and effectively a game winner, 102-100. That was an incredible game. And now we'll see if Yale can hold on here up 3 with about 13 seconds left. It's not a good look for Auburn.
We're going to step away for the news. When we get back, we'll get into some talk about the LSU baseball squad hosting the Florida Gators. Hear what Jay Johnson had to say about the matchup when we get back after this on Sports Talk. Plus, more updates of the NCAA tournament. We'll keep you posted. Be right back with more right here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.